Thought Bubble Audio.
Look, up in the sky!
You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Welcome to Beer with Geeks with Tim and Frank.
Who are you?
I'm Batman.
I am Iron Man.
Your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man.
Hi, Christopher. I'm Nero.
My name is Inigo Montoya.
You're a wizard, Harry.
A couple of guys with a couple of beers and a whole lot of pop culture nostalgia.
Make it so, number one.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Beatles.
Name the dog Indiana.
Life finds a way.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Now sit back and crack open a cold one. Because it's time for Beer with Geeks.
It comes in pints?
Shaken, not stirred.
Great Scott!
I was way off. I knew it started with an S, though.
Hi, and welcome to Beer with Geeks, where two geeks geek out with beer. I'm Tim, and with me, as always, is my co-host, Frank. How are you today, sir?
I'm good. Why are there two other guys here?
Yeah. I thought I was the only one that could see them.
I thought I was the only one who could see them.
Well, now I don't know what to do.
Spirit, what are your names?
Just wave. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. This is feeling awkward.
Yeah.
I brought beer, guys. I thought that was cool.
Oh, yeah.
That's good. Do I have to touch your robe and know you? Are you going to take me around through a bunch of different Christmases? Is that what this is about? Because Christmas was 2 months ago. Just saying.
I take you to Pots of Gold at the end of the rainbow.
Ooh. Oh, that's fun too. I thought maybe you were also going to take me through different President's Days. You know, that was.
We want to welcome our friends from the Suicide Squadcast, good podcasting buddies of ours. Scott and Tim are here.
Yes, thank you. Thank you so
much. Thank you.
Man, I gotta tell you guys, thank you so much for having us on here. And I am so happy that I finally get to have a beer while I'm recording.
Absolutely.
We deserve it. Yeah, we have strict rules on the Suicide Squadcast. The producer of that show is a real stickler when it comes to that. So,
yeah, he looks a lot like you, doesn't he?
He does. He does. Very good looking guy.
Yeah, I thought so. Well, if you're just joining us, we started this little crossover deal over on the Suicide Squadcast. So before you go any further, you're going to want to go to the Suicide Squadcast and hear part one of this chat where we are. We are pitting some of our favorite DC Comics heroes and villains against each other. Guys, where can they find part one?
Oh, part one. If you can go to iTunes or any of the other podcatchers out there and look up the Suicide Squadcast. And this is going to be part one is actually on episode 27. So
I have a question. What are you guys drinking?
Hey, that's a great question. Yeah. I am drinking the Smutty Nose Brewing Company's Finest Kind IPA.
Ooh,
yeah, that sounds lovely.
Yeah, sounds what about lovely. You know, we talked about this over on Suicide Squadcast. We've got two Tims here.
Yes.
So Beer with Geeks Tim is Earth One Tim,
right?
And Suicide Squadcast Tim is Tim Prime,
right? And the reason I'm Tim Prime is because I used to sit there as a fan and listen to you guys. So much like Superboy Prime, that's basically what I'm just Tim Prime.
It makes it sound so old and veterany. That's
Well,
I mean, you guys have about, I don't know, at least with, I don't know how about Beer with Geeks, but at least Supergirl TV, I mean, you have probably about a good 8 months on us.
Yeah,
we were doing
Beer with Geeks a couple years before that.
Oh, Beer with Geeks. Yeah. So, I mean, that's like ancient in podcasting terms.
Because we're getting close to episode 100.
Yeah. You know? I mean, so many podcasts never make it past episode 12. So
true.
That is true. What about you guys? What are you all drinking?
I'm drinking Best Damn Root Beer. That's what I'm drinking.
Nice.
Nice.
It's kind of the, you know, I learned from you guys about Not Your Father's Root Beer, which, you know, is very spicy, and I consider it like the barks of alcoholic root beer. Well, okay. Best Damn Root Beer is very smooth, so it's more like the A&W of alcoholic root beer.
All right.
Yeah, and I'm drinking Founders IPA, and it's called Double Trouble.
I love it. So, cheers. Yeah, love cheers it. To that.
Cheers.
Double what about
trouble,
you, Tim?
Just like you two.
Nice. Hey-o.
Ho. Well, since we are the old veterans, I'm drinking Fireside Chat by 21st Amendment Brewery.
So good.
Very so well
just,
of you.
It's just me sitting by a fire, smoking a cigar, drinking this beer and podcasting with you gentlemen. So
classy.
I'm very classy. You know, I'm a classy guy like that. I'm definitely not cradling my cat in my arms because he's scared of the weather outside. Like he's a giant baby. And very classy. No, very classy. Fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So listen, guys, when last we left off, we had some DC Comics heroes, some DC Comics villains. We were pitting them against each other. Right. We had our top 16 heroes and villains. We broke it down to now we've got eight of each. Mm-hmm. So wanna get back into it? Well, our usual fight rules apply. If you've listened to Beer with Geeks before, then you might know the way this works. If you're just joining us, the way this works is we pit two randomly selected opponents against one another. We use a number generator to randomly select it, keep it fair, and we assume they are on a soccer field, so they're just in on a big field. They've got only the weapons with them that they normally have with them. They don't have any vehicles. They don't have any other characters with them. Just themselves, whatever weapons they normally carry, and their wits about them.
Right.
Righto.
So
should we mention the shocker that carried over from the last episode?
Yeah.
So we're talking about Plastic Man. Who did he beat?
Plastic Man beat the Sun Eater.
Yes.
Sun Eater.
So I don't even really, I still don't understand how that worked, but that's what they decided, and well, I just went with it.
It was a mutual decision.
It was indifference, but
well,
anyway,
when we get back to Plastic Man this time, you can argue for or argue against his case more strongly.
Yes, Scott, exactly. You had your chance.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. What we're dealing with here now is the top 16 that are left are Superman, Batman, Supergirl, Dr. Fate, Raven, Martian Manhunter, Plastic Man, and Firestorm on the hero side. Mm-hmm. And over on the villain side, we've got Talon, Brainiac, Reverse Flash, Captain Cold, Mr. Freeze, Doomsday, Mirror Master, and of course, Starro.
Is it weird that we have two cold-themed villains?
I was thinking the exact same thing.
Yeah. I was thinking that myself. But you know what? It is what it is, and I'm randomly generating our first matchup here.
All right.
And I have got Batman versus Mr. Freeze.
Oh.
Well, that is classic. Well, I think Mr. Freeze wins. Yeah. Just putting it out there.
If only we have. Batman has the container of chicken soup in his belt.
That's
I'm
right.
Sorry.
Exactly.
Yeah,
for your code, so.
I was going to say, if only we saw something from the source material that would inform us how this might actually go.
Well, I'm thinking that Mr. Freeze will get there and be like, it's nice to meet you, Batman. And Batman's going to be like, that joke was really, you're really skating on thin ice there.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, no, no. You know, you guys, so funny. Ah. I destroy you with my rubber gun. You know, like, whatever. Yeah.
What happened to the dinosaurs? They froze to death.
Yeah. Does Batman have a picture of Mr. Freeze's wife in his utility belt?
Yeah, but not for the purposes you think. Guys,
so, I mean,
obviously it was to take around to medical centers to get her, you know, fixed. Jeez,
right.
So yeah. Weird.
Is that why? Guys,
whatever.
You guys have issues.
You want tissue?
Yeah. So,
yeah.
I mean, come on. I mean, so Batman ultimately prepared for his foes, especially his rogues gallery.
Right.
Yeah, I agree. But that's okay because really this also just that this really does take, you know, Batman out of the running. So maybe the fights become a little bit more, you know, open from there. So I'm actually kind of glad that.
Yeah, agreed.
I'm kind of glad that that's how that fight went down.
Right.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So Batman wins. Batman right. is victorious in this round. Next round we've got is Raven versus Doomsday.
Okay, well, Raven's skin is gray and Doomsday's skin is gray.
Ooh. He'll be confused.
Yeah,
and there's more than one way to skin a gray raven.
One day you'll doom us by telling us. All right.
Well, and that's something so raven like to have gray skin.
So
yes,
I had
so
to
there was a pun somewhere in there. Thank
I'm glad
you.
We've had that joke on two podcasts now.
if they didn't get it the first podcast, they certainly got it the second.
Exactly. You can't escape it.
All right. Well, I think Raven would just throw up a magic spell at Doomsday and be like, quoth me, nevermore. And then that's
that. I definitely thought you were going to say, I think Raven would just throw up.
Well, tell how much respect you have for that character.
She actually might. Right?
It sounded like that's what you were saying, and I was like, "Wow, all right,
guys, we're going here." More.
I felt never was more. Very obvious Alan Poe joke.
Yeah.
I don't know. Raven is the daughter of Trigon, the right. biggest demon in the DC universe pantheon.
Right.
So, I'm gonna say that. Raven's probably got some magic in her, maybe not the best magic, but she's definitely got some magic in her that could really take down Doomsday.
Right.
Let's consider for a moment here that at least in the previous bracket, we had Doomsday take down Zatanna. Mm-hmm.
But Raven doesn't have to speak to use right. her powers.
That's the okay. big difference.
I'm right? I'm just recapping for the audience mm-hmm. and putting that in perspective.
Yeah.
So yes, you're right. She doesn't have to speak to work her magic like Zatanna would have to. Mm-hmm.
And I also think that with Raven, with her demonic energy, which she just taps in naturally because of her birthright, I think that is one step above backwards magic.
Okay. yep. I would. Right. Yep. That's a valid point. Mm-hmm. So we're calling it for Raven then?
Raven.
All right. Yeah, Raven it is. So. All right. Raven it is. She's gone Raven mad.
A Teen Titan does what the Justice League could not.
Mm.
And I did hear that pun, by the way. So.
Yeah, I was hoping no one did. But all right.
Nope. All Superman. Of our listeners also definitely heard it. Remember,
yes,
these aren't for us. We just don't record them and, you know,
what are you talking about?
Put them on the shelf, you know, yeah. like, good job, team.
Yeah,
another digital podcast recorded.
Yeah, so I don't know what you're talking about.
Some voices in your head should not be heard.
I have a shelf full of reel-to-reel Beer with Geeks that I just listen to for fun all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway,
self-serving. Anyway,
yeah. Well, very self-indulgent. speaking of which, we've got Superman versus Talon.
Oh.
Freeze breath. Talon's done.
Yeah.
Wow. I just want to. Okay, I'm going to pull back the curtain a little bit here. We have a Google Doc here where we're like highlighting which winner is which to like who advances the next round.
Yeah.
And as soon as I said Superman versus Talon, Tim went in and just highlighted Superman as the winner. Well, so, I mean, yeah, freeze breath or heat vision or really anything.
Yeah. There's really nothing. He might be an assassin, but he's not Kryptonian.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's pretty handy victory. For Superman, right there. So I guess with that, unless anyone has any objections,
I do not.
Move along.
I think we'll move along. Move along.
Move along. This is not the fight you're looking for. Move right. along.
No, it's not. Oh, okay. This is a good one, guys. This is a good one. We got Firestorm versus Captain Cold.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Ooh. Got some Legends of Tomorrow fighting going on over here.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, but we established it has to be Ronnie and Martin.
Yeah, I know.
We did. Yes.
Yeah, so it's no Jax.
All right, Jax. So it's Ronnie Raymond, Martin Stein, Firestorm versus Captain Cold, Leonard Snart. Now, here's the thing about Firestorm. I don't love Firestorm, but I love Captain Cold.
Mm-hmm.
Captain Cold is smarmy.
Right.
And Firestorm... Different versions of Firestorm. This Ronnie and Martin, I don't exactly love for whatever reason. This has nothing to do whether who would win in a fight or not. I'm just giving you my opinion about things.
Right.
Captain Cold can hold his own against the Flash. And Firestorm can transmute a lot of things. Like we've talked about this, how he can, you know, he can turn the ice... you know, beam into soap bubbles or whatever.
Right.
But if he does, in fact, do that, those soap bubbles are going to get in his eye, and then he won't be able to see. And then Captain Cold will just punch him in the face, and that'll be that.
Worst defeat ever.
Possible. But I'm not hearing any objections from anybody. Just saying.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really see a great scenario here. where...
Now my question is, does Firestorm make it so hot that Captain Cold has to take off that parka?
He will not relinquish the parka, no matter what the temperature is.
No, he's all in with that parka.
Although in the comics now, he's actually got like a vest parka thing. Have you seen where his arm... Oh, that's the other thing. Captain Cold in the comics right now does not carry a cold gun. His powers come from his hands.
Mm. Well, no, actually they actually changed that. He's back to the gun.
When did that? Did it happen in Justice League? Did I forget that?
It happened in Forever Evil because Deathstorm rewrote their DNA and took away their meta abilities.
Mm-hmm. That's right. I forgot about that. Okay, never mind. But he still doesn't have sleeves.
That's true. Yeah, you're true.
Can I just say comics have two like. Deathstorm, Deathstroke, Deadshot. Like, oh my God, guys, pick a new name. Deadpool. Like, everyone.
Okay, well.
Everything is dead or dying or death.
I was going to say, there's no dying pool, you know.
Right.
What's your codename? Dying Storm. Yeah. I'm in the process of dying in the middle of a storm. It's perfect. Yeah, well, this
well, when death you know, becomes you her, could, you'll
you
be
could
fine.
Make, you could make that argument. Oh. Do this. Batman, Superman, you know,
right.
Plastic Man. Pick another name,
yeah, but
guys.
They're men. But they're men.
Super Lad. Bat Lad.
Well, don't forget, they're men. They're men in tights. Tights.
Roman. I was looking for fights.
Fights.
Wow. So, verdict?
Actually, I was making fun, but I think Firestorm would actually win in that fight. I think as much as I like Captain Cold and his smarminess, he usually has a team around him that help him, like that helps him when he has the Rogues. So Captain Cold really doesn't have anything on just a regular fight with Firestorm. Might catch him off guard, might get him a couple times, but as an overall battle, there he's not going to win.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I give my vote to Firestorm as well.
I do too.
I say Firestorm.
So the Unanimous. Heroes are 4-0 at this point.
Wow, yeah, look at that. We're halfway through and
Well, isn't that funny that the heroes are winning? It's amazing how that works.
That never happens in comics.
Yeah.
No, that would never that would never happen in the comics. Yeah. All right. So now we're looking at Plastic Man. Oh, finally, it's here. The showdown we've been waiting for.
Please be Starro, please be Starro. Yes.
Starro.
Is it Starro?
Plastic Man versus Starro. I kid you not.
Yes.
So okay, so Plastic Man's ability of his opponent being indifferent to him, does that play a role here? Would Starro be indifferent?
No, I don't think Starro would be indifferent to Plastic Man.
Starro took on the Justice League in his first appearance, I think. And he was defeated, but by a team.
By the Flash, Green Lantern, Wonder Woman, and the Martian Manhunter.
Are you sure it wasn't Plastic Man, a solo story, defeating him? I'm trying to remember.
I am
probably not.
I'm pretty sure.
I'm like 100% positive that.
Yeah.
Now. Yeah. So, again, the only reason Plastic Man is in this round is because of his opponent's indifference. That's not going to be the case here. So we're back to him turning it into a little coffee table or a mailbox,
but
he turns into.
But what does Starro really do?
He stars.
Yes. He attaches himself like an alien to their head.
Starry, starry night. Yeah, I mean, I don't see a lot happening here with Starro.
Sure, Starro can also like shoot a beam out from his eye or something like that too.
Do we know that, or are you just?
Well, that's a
I will use my one look up, sir.
Ah, yes.
Starro's powers.
Is there a one?
That's
look
another
up
rule. That's another rule we have on Beer with Geeks. You have one chance. To like Google something if you're not sure.
Can you phone
one friend? Chance the entire show per person?
Okay.
Unless it's a Star Wars commentary, then you get like two because it's like a double episode,
right? And this will be a long episode, so I think two probably applies here as well.
Okay.
I got it.
Okay.
I quote from Wikipedia. Starro is an alien and resembles a giant Terran starfish. An asexual creature, Starro is capable of generating clones that act in accordance with the original's will. The clones are parasites by nature and can attach themselves to the humanoid's face and subsequently take control of the host's central nervous system, thereby controlling the host. Control of the host is lost once removed from the victim. The creature is also capable of energy projection, flight, changing color, and has a high degree of invulnerability. The humanoid Starro the Conqueror possesses telepathy strong enough to control the entire Starro alien race and possesses the strength drawn from the victims of the Starro probes. So long story short, he's nigh invincible. He can fly. He can project energy and create little clony versions of himself to wrap onto somebody's face.
Yeah,
and basically, he can change color so he can completely camouflage himself and Plastic Man will be confused.
Yeah.
I think that's the important part here.
Yeah. So, I mean, he would attach himself.
Whoa, I was fighting a purple starfish before. I don't know where this green starfish came from.
And that, would warp his mind. He would understand.
So, okay, Starro's got this one, right?
Definitely give it to Starro.
All right. Starro wins.
Starro Knight. Okay.
Starro Plastic Man.
Yeah.
You did good.
Well, first hero to go down.
That's right. First hero to lose. Well, yeah.
Yep. I
mean, I'm really surprised. Let's go with interesting. We've got Supergirl versus the Reverse Flash.
Oh.
Ooh, actually good fight. Okay. Well, they're both fast. And
they are both fast.
And, well, Reverse Flash even traditionally is faster than the Flash. And the Flash is faster than Superman.
Faster than Superman. Therefore,
the Reverse Flash is pretty – he is actually not much faster, but he is a considerable amount faster than, I would say, than Supergirl.
Right.
Okay, yeah. But let me ask the question, because this has come up with any of our Kryptonian battles. Though he is faster than Supergirl, with her durability and, say, invulnerability, can the Reverse Flash actually do anything to her even though he is faster than her?
Yes, because they're invulnerable, but they still feel pain. You know, so I think, like, just the idea of moving at Mach 2 and throwing a punch creates enough energy and enough force to hurt, would be like enough to hurt her.
At least not.
I would say, especially when the Speed Force is involved, then yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And this would not result in the Reverse Flash like totally breaking his hand, or is that something that the Speed Force can protect him from, since he is trying to punch a Kryptonian?
The Speed Force usually protects them from those types of injuries, even like falling and slamming into walls by accident. Like, right, they would be pulverized if not for the Speed Force.
So okay, let me ask you this. All right. So can he vibrate his hand and basically kind of enter into her brain and then re-solidify part of his hand and cause like an aneurysm?
I think maybe.
Because she's invulnerable, and that's because she's got, like, basically, the way I understand it now is basically there's, like, kind of an energy field or a force field that kind of makes her skin impenetrable.
Well,
but can he vibrate through it?
Well, the everything is made up of atoms, right?
Right.
And the Flash can or I don't know if Reverse Flash can, but let's work on the principle that he can, because Flash can, for the most part.
Yeah, right.
That the Flash can vibrate enough to realign his atoms to whatever he is. That's how you phase through things.
Right.
And so
right,
the force field would just still be made of atoms. So he could potentially vibrate through those atoms. Yeah. No,
and we
force
have
field
seen,
or whatever. Yeah.
Yes. And we have seen the Reverse Flash vibrate through like people.
Right.
And, and like, you know, so I think logically, scientifically, because this is very scientific, all of this, I would say that yes, he should be able to.
Right. So he could do something to maybe block her oxygen, block her heart, something to make her pass out.
Right. But she's also not passive, right? She would hopefully put up some kind of fight.
But okay, so that's a good point. But could he do something that would happen so quick that she wouldn't even realize it was happening before it was too late?
So basically he neutralizes her before she's able to fight back.
Right, right. Because he should be able to move a lot faster than she would not be able to see him.
Well, no, Ayla, she's moving super fast. I think that she'd see him, but it would be maybe kind of – if you were talking like that sort of slow-mo vision where he's just moving a little bit faster than her. Because my question is, if she lands a punch on him, you know, we talked about how the Speed Force protects him, but if she can clock him really good – I mean, even if she's moving slower, if she still hits him, how much damage is that going to do to him?
But he's always going to see it coming, right? He's got to be considerably faster than her.
He's appreciably fast, like he's noticeably faster than her, but not like, you know, several times over fast. He's like noticeably, but only by a little bit.
Okay.
So like. She could land a punch that would do some damage. Like she could still, while not as fast, you know, she's smart and she's a decent fighter. Not one of the best fighters in the DC universe, but she's a decent fighter. She could land a couple of good punches, you know, when he's trying to run circles around her. And those punches could do some damage.
So let me ask you this. So is the Reverse Flash faster than light?
Yes.
Okay.
Because he can travel through time and dimension.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, yeah, right. I'm making the assumption that her heat vision is basically, you know, it's a wavelength light, similar to the speed of light.
Sure.
So if she starts to shoot a beam out, he would be able to avoid it because he's faster. So that's not going to help. So really, to me, it kind of comes down to, can she land a punch? Or can he do something to cause her to pass out, you know, or drop down before she can land a punch?
Could
this is one of those?
Yeah,
this is one of those things that it really can go either way,
right?
So
he could run in the circle to make the oxygen disappear from the in the vortex, but she could like fly out of that.
But I mean, if she's Kryptonian, they don't need to breathe in space. They don't need to breathe in the absence of oxygen.
Right. I think we might need to take this to a vote because there's just too many scenarios where either one of them could win.
I'm voting Supergirl because I also think that she might spin around with some freeze breath. And even though he's running around her, you know, I think she's got enough powers that, you know, even the heat vision. I mean, if you do the freeze breath and you just spin around, you're just coating the air in cold and then he'd even freeze. So I'm voting Supergirl.
I'm with you. Freeze breath or super flare or like any number of powers, she could combine them in different variations to take him down. So I'm voting Supergirl as well.
So I'm gonna vote
Tim and Tim.
I'm gonna vote Reverse Flash only because I picture him as more experienced and probably a lot more evil and able to do something, you know, do something worse than she probably would.
Yeah.
No, that's fair.
I feel weird not voting for Supergirl for the second time. So I'm going to vote for the Reverse Flash because I still think Tim's got to stick together, you know?
That's right.
And, you know, I think you have to do the coin flip. Yeah.
That's coin flip. Yeah.
We got to do a coin flip. So, all right. So heads is Supergirl, tails is Reverse Flash. Is that fair?
Yeah. Cause sure, they leave some lightning tails around.
Yeah. All right. Well, we have Tails. Reverse Flash wins.
Oh.
Oh.
So unfortunate for the Supergirl TV talk, guys.
Coin likes my pun.
I'm glad somebody does.
Sorry, Melissa Benoist.
Next up.
You got that crush on Melissa Benoist. How could you do that to us?
Who doesn't?
Yeah.
Who doesn't?
Yeah. Should we just switch the show over to talking about Melissa Benoist? No, we'll have to do that some other time.
No, we should not. Next up, we have Dr. Fate versus Mirror Master.
Well, as we determined the last time, Mirror Master really only won.
Cool helmets win.
Cool helmets win, right. But Mirror Master really only won because he was just fighting it like a middle-aged boxer.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, that's true.
That is literally the only reason he won. However, Dr. Fate's helmet is very reflective, which I would assume counts as some kind. That,
ooh,
like,
good point.
Yeah, so that's where I leave the conversation. You guys jump in because I got nothing.
Well, he's always holding, I'm drawing a blank. What's the name of the object he holds up?
A mirror.
It's the Ankh.
The Ankh.
Is it the Ankh?
Yes. Are you talking about Dr. Fate, or are you talking about Dear Esther?
Dr. Fate.
I was just being a jerk. I'm sorry.
Again, so like if he holds something up, it's always shiny and reflective.
So I thought the Ankh was always like a magical projection.
Was it?
Yeah, it's not a real thing.
Oh.
He has that little circle.
Yes, you're right. Yeah. Sorry. Yep. But I do like the idea of him being able to do something off the reflective helmet, because that helmet is definitely polished.
But what's he going to do? Like, look at himself, get his butt kicked? I mean, honestly, I feel like, you know, even if Mirror Master has his mirror gun, which we discussed in his last battle, I mean, Dr. Fate can teleport. Dr. Fate can fly. And Dr. Fate can cast a spell from a distance. I really don't see how Mirror Master has a chance, even if he's able to hide in the helmet and go, hello. I mean, really, what's he going to do from there?
I was trying to give him a shot, but yeah, I agree with you, Scott. I don't think there's a really good scenario where Mirror Master would win this. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I don't. Because even if the helmet is reflective, that like he could go into the helmet, but what, you know what I mean?
And then what?
Fate can't see the reflection of the helmet, so
block his eyes.
Right.
Yeah. What's there? No, it's all Dr. Fate for me.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Fate. Bye, Mirror Master.
Yeah. All right. Our last matchup here of this round is Martian Manhunter versus Brainiac.
Oh.
Ooh.
This is a good one.
This is a good one. Here's my idea. He's Brainiac against a mind reader.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. I'm giving it to the telepath and the mind reader, because he can screw around with his brain. I mean, even as the, you know, even the robotic version, you know, has some sort of brain in it. So my question is, can Jean manipulate even electronic brain? Even if we go with robotic version, because that was our big debate, you know, in the last episode, was which version of Brainiac are we talking about?
So you're positing that his power is based on electrical impulses through like neurons, and it could be equally be transferred over to something computer, something electronic.
Yeah, I don't think that Jean has that power, because then you're kind of stepping on Cyborg's toes at that point.
Right.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a valid point. But to Scott's point, as long as there is a brain in there, there's brainwave activity happening, I think he could read the mind of whatever brain is in that robot body. But I just to play devil's advocate for a second on Brainiac's behalf, Brainiac is incredibly intelligent. Incredibly quick-witted, and I feel as though he could use Martian Manhunter's weakness against him—the weakness against fire against him—to pretty good effect.
Right.
Right. Like I think that he could easily conjure up fire, and I don't think that would be outside of his abilities. Really, if we're talking, especially if we're talking like robot John Byrne Brainiac. I think that he could conjure up fire, you know, like kryptonite flames or something even, but flames nonetheless, to do some, at least spook Jean, if not actually hurt him.
I mean, the thing is, like, he has vast amounts of information in all the different civilizations, so he must know about what happened to his people.
But then
the white person's up to it.
But then, wouldn't Jean be able to like phase and just like rip out? If we're talking robotic Brainiac, just phase and be able to rip out any kind of internal circuitry. So even if he can't mentally attack him, he can physically attack him in a way that if he's phased and incorporeal, then Brainiac can't get to him.
That's a good point. That's a very good point. What do you think, gentlemen?
Well, I don't think. Even if Jean destroys one version, like this version of Brainiac, there's always another Brainiac that comes around. So is Jean's victory over Brainiac on like the largest scale, or just this like version, or just this tiny version of Brainiac that we see before us?
even when Superman beats Brainiac, it's always just for now until Brainiac regroups and comes back.
Right.
Right.
But if we go by your guys, you know, battle arena rules that he can't bring anything else with him, then I'm guessing that our judgment of this battle has to be on this entity that is this in battle. The soccer field.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I agreed. Agreed. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So my personal vote is that Jean can beat Brainiac.
Mm-hmm. I think if Superman can just basically if Superman can beat Brainiac, then Jean can beat Brainiac.
That's I agree.
A good argument. Yep.
I obviously my vote is for Jean.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. They're about equal. They're about equal strength, and you know, Jean's even got a few more powers that would be even more helpful. So.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Wow. Well, six of our eight heroes made it out alive, and only two of our villains made it out alive. So we're going to have to do some rethinking here. We can't do heroes versus villains every time anymore, guys, because now we're looking at there's not an equal matching anymore.
So I think what you should do is just put the two villains in there in the grouping with the heroes, and then we'll just do a random from 1 to 8.
We've got like a Batman v Superman situation going here where we can have heroes fighting heroes. Say,
wouldn't that be appropriate?
Wouldn't it though? All right, yeah, let's make that. Let's do that.
There we go.
All right. So, our first matchup here is going to be, drum roll please, it's going to be Dr. Fate versus Reverse Flash.
Ooh.
Ooh.
This is a challenge. So you got Dr. Fate. He's got the spiffy Dr. Fate got the spiffy helmet, which undefeated spiffy helmet. But Reverse Flash, Reverse Flash, undefeated evil bad speed stuff.
Right. Okay, yeah. We've got another thing reminding of our first battle. Now we have a doctor versus a professor.
Oh, true.
Right. Well, I'm going to say the Reverse Flash probably only has his master's degree, but Dr. Fate definitely has his doctorate degree. So,
but Reverse Flash is also Professor Zoom.
Yeah, but you could be a professor with a master's degree.
That's true.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, educator man over there, whatever. Yeah. So Dr. Fate, spiffy helmet versus speed. Does his spiffy helmet magic, shiny spiffy helmet magic, work against someone who is faster than the Flash and willing to play dirty?
Yes, because I think that Dr. Fate still, again, can... He doesn't have to say words to use his magic.
Right.
Okay. And so even if he just becomes... If he just enters the astral plane for a second and he's like, all right, let me think about how to do this. And he's like, nah, I got this. And then he's just like, oh, I freeze time. Boom, done. Mm-hmm. Froze time. Mm-hmm. But Reverse Flash is like, aha, that's actually how my speed works. I also freeze time. So then they just punch each other really slowly. I think Dr. Fate has more muscle than Reverse Flash does because Reverse Flash is kind of wiry because he's a runner. So,
yeah.
That's how I saw all that going down. I don't know what you guys saw.
Yeah. I mean, he's also got, can't he like move objects like telekinesis as well? I mean, could he
talk about
use
Dr. Fate or Reverse Flash?
Dr. Fate, yeah. Can't he use that to contain Reverse Flash?
Oh, yeah. Couldn't he just lift Reverse Flash up off his feet?
Yeah. How's he going to run?
Yeah.
Right.
Uh-huh.
So if he kind of lifts him up like a foot off the ground, he can run all he wants. He's not going anywhere.
And I'm curious, guys, how has there ever been a discussion about magic versus the Speed Force? Like, how does the Speed Force react to magic?
I'm sure there has, and I already used my one lookup, so can't help you.
Okay, I'm going to use my one lookup for that, because I'm very curious about that, because you do make the point about, I think Tim Prime makes an excellent point about, you know, if he's not on the ground, what can he do?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, if you just lift him up off the ground, his feet are moving real fast, but he's not going anywhere.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And that's funny, I don't know that I've ever seen a speedster kind of taken out by doing that. Have you guys? Not that I can think of.
I can't think of a situation where that's happened. Then I feel like somewhere in the, you know, almost 80 years of DC Comics that must have happened at some point,
right?
In some obscure issue of The Flash somewhere, but you know, who knows? If you know, you know, write us in beerwithgeeks@gmail.com. But I can't think of an instance where that did happen.
Right. So, Scott, what are you finding out?
Basically, there's something about Doctor Strange and cosmic balance and Speed Force. I'm guessing this has something to do with like the JLA Avengers crossover, that apparently that Flashes are not willing to accept orders from the magicians and will fight with all they have. So I don't know. I'm not finding anything definitive, because apparently even Geoff Johns has described the Speed Force as completely absurd and basically magic. I mean, this is a quote from Geoff Johns. So, you know, even the Speed Force is being considered magic. And that's once again from the illustrious source of Wikipedia.
Yeah, right. I don't know. I'm going to go with my theory on this. All he has to do is lift him a foot off the ground and he can't do anything.
I think that's the best argument. I'm going with Dr. Fate.
Yeah, I agree. Spiffy helmet prevails.
That's right.
Speaking of prevailing, we've got Batman versus the inexplicably still in this game Starro.
Oh.
You know, I don't know what Batman would do against a giant starfish from space.
But Batman knows what he would do.
I don't know.
Because remember, we're dealing with Grant Morrison's Bat God.
Right.
Yeah, that's
right.
True.
He should know.
Yeah.
So Batman knows the Justice League foes.
Yeah, there is, I think, a difference between knowing the Justice League foes and knowing which ones you can take on and knowing which ones you can't take on. And I don't know if Starro is a villain that they can all, that anybody can just take on their own. At least somebody who is actually just a person.
You know? So I'm trying to think. Didn't we see Starro in Batman: The Brave and the Bold?
Yes, we did. Because there was a whole like story arc where it was like in all the little like beginning chapters, and that became like an episode later on in a season. And we also saw Terry McGinnis fight Starro in Batman Beyond.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Right, but that wasn't the full big Starro, if I remember.
No, it was not the full big Starro.
No.
And I think Terry McGinnis had the benefit of his cool flying Batmobile, which our Batman does not have access to.
Right. But Brave and Bold was giant Starro,
It was the giant.
Yeah, it was, with lots of Starro clones.
With the clones, right.
But, I mean, didn't he have help in that episode, or no? I'm trying to remember.
I can't remember.
Because I think all his Justice League buddies were taken. The whole point
they were taken out by the clones.
They were taken out by the clones.
Right.
So he had help initially, but they were taken out by the clones. So did Batman ultimately beat Starro in that version?
No, he died and they actually ended the show. I mean, he must have, right? I don't remember.
Well, it was like season two, so there was a third season.
Actually, I believe, if I remember correctly, all the Starros had taken over, right? They had taken over the Justice League, and Batman was the only one left with Aqua Girl,
I think someone has to use their other we have two more lookups left in this episode.
I'm going to use mine. Yeah, my point with all of that is that even that Batman had help. Well, Terry McGinnis isn't nearly as ever prepared as Bruce Wayne, but they had help. And so, I mean, I'm the biggest Batman fan around, like, and all that, but I don't know if I'd give that to Batman just on his own.
Okay. We're giving another one to Starro?
Well, listen to this.
Starro's a big deal.
So this is from Wikipedia, and it was kind of recapping the Brave and the Bold episode. And in this, the Starro clones had taken over most of the heroes, but Batman was still around, but he put together a ragtag team involving Firestorm, Captain Marvel, Booster Gold, and Bwana Beast. And he was able to defeat Starro, Batman was, by encouraging Billy Batson to turn into Shazam, and when the lightning bolt came down, it actually defeated Starro. Let's see. It says it actually killed Starro.
Okay, so all Batman has to do is call on the Wizard Shazam and convince him to be the champion instead, and then use his new Shazam powers to defeat Starro.
Right, right.
Okay. I cannot believe we're going to give this battle to Starro over Batman. This does not seem right with the world.
This seems so wrong.
But nobody's given me a good reason for it to not be Starro.
I know. I know.
I don't have one. That's the problem.
Okay, what if he's got Starro repellent spray in his utility belt?
There is now. See, now I like the way you're thinking.
Yes.
Yep. Nope. Still, I still don't know.
You're not going to go with the Starro repellent spray.
Not I. Back God is not Adam West.
Okay, what about Justice League episode in those Secret Origins where he has like the electrical like. Brass knuckles, because I mean those were awesome. I don't know, can he electrocute Starro even if it's giant starfish Starro?
Well, that's a good point. Now Starro's got to be, he's got to have a lot of water in his body, I would imagine.
Mm-hmm.
I mean that's a true. Huge assumption. So he could
it's
conduct
a logical one.
He could conduct current,
yep,
through his body, and somewhere in there he's got a central processing system of some sort.
You know, I don't.
So what?
Yeah. Okay.
And the Justice League doesn't have any people that shoot lightning powers, right?
Black Lightning.
Black Lightning. Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, but was he there?
But we're talking about just Batman versus just.
I know,
Starro.
But I'm trying to see if there's a precedent for somebody being able to take out Starro with, you know, like say electricity or lightning.
Okay. Okay.
Don't forget, he is almost invulnerable. I don't know how much. Like, you know, electric brass knuckles are going to do.
But I just can't believe we're giving this one to Starro.
They're bat god electric knuckles, though.
Yeah. Yeah, just.
I mean,
yeah.
Wayne Tech could come up with some gadget that would.
But he would have to have it on him.
But he has a utility belt.
He's got everything in that utility belt.
Would you like to see our new toys, Mr. Wayne?
I don't know.
No. I mean, if the biggest Batman fan here is saying, give it to Starro, then I feel like we have to give it to Starro, but I don't like it.
I don't like it at all. I object.
Don't like it. Yes. Don't like it one. Objection, Your Honor. I don't like it one bit, but if the biggest Batman advocate is saying, give it to Starro.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're all stretching thin on the. Right.
I know, but I mean, how many? I mean, let's just take a vote. How many of us are Batman fans? Because I am.
I'm a Batman.
And I have to say Starro.
Yeah, I mean, let's face it. I mean, Batman has been most successful against foes like this as being kind of an orchestrator. Right?
Okay.
I mean, you know, figuring out how to get the team to beat.
Yes,
the villain.
But hold on. Hold on. Before we make this fateful decision. I want to that has implications across the universe.
Well, it looks like it's already been made, by the way.
Yeah,
Google Docs are not law. I want to point out that the argument we made last time when Batman won was he beat Darkseid.
That's not what I said. That's not what I said. I said he went up against Darkseid and survived, but he didn't beat him in combat.
You're right. He didn't beat him in combat, but
there's a difference between holding your own. And then winning.
But we gave him the win.
The Jeff Loeb run on Supergirl, he was able to reason with Darkseid and basically, you know, he punked him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I don't think you can punk Starro.
But more recently than that, he has gone up against, you know, in Final Crisis in the New 52, he's gone up against Darkseid.
Mm-hmm. No, Final. Yeah, but he doesn't have the God bullet thingy to kill Starro. And when he went up against Darkseid in Batman and Robin in the New 52, he had a giant mech bat suit. So, I think if he had a giant mech bat, like if he was able to get it, he could win. But he doesn't because he's on a football field with his utility belt. Okay. That's just the.
So then it's Starro.
My God, this hurts.
Sadly, is so wrong.
The mission is over.
This is so very. This is a grave miscarriage of justice.
Is this worse than him quitting to go to an Italian cafe with Catwoman?
Right. Yes. This might be about as bad.
Yeah.
Because at least there he didn't lose, I guess.
Yeah. Well, all right. Well, that just happened.
Yeah. I mean, this just goes to show that Batman needs people. And let this be a lesson to you, Bruce Wayne.
Let this be a lesson to you. And if you have any complaints, send them to suicidesquadcast@gmail.com. Anyway.
That's right. Oh, that's not fair.
That one's going to hurt.
Worst anyway.
Rose ever.
Let's move on.
Well, how about Raven versus Firestorm?
Oh.
Ooh.
Okay.
Raven's got the magic. Firestorm's got the science.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Stein can turn Raven's cloak into soap bubbles, as per the only thing I think my only example.
Which would
Raven
confuse
can send
her.
Firestorm to another dimension.
Right.
Yeah.
But I think Firestorm would be able to survive given Firestorm's power. Firestorm is one of the most powerful heroes in the DC universe.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly because the power is pretty
open-ended.
Right. Open-ended is a good way of putting it. It's like it can do all the things. So, you know, there's kind of no real limit to Firestorm's power.
But is there a limit to Raven's power? I mean, all she has to say is Azrieth, Metrion, Synthos, and then basically anything can happen that she wants to happen.
She does tire out, though.
Mm-hmm. True. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she has fainted for too much energy and all this stuff. And Firestorm can absorb energy. We haven't really used that power before in these fights, but he can take in, like, if she fires a blast at him and he's got it right, he could just absorb it.
Right.
Can he absorb? I'm not that familiar with Firestorm. Does that include with magical blasts? I'm
not sure.
Can he? Can he play some goth music and distract her?
Yes. Yes, he can.
What do you mean, Tim? I don't know what you're talking about. I love you, Tara Strong. It's okay.
So I don't know.
I give it to personally. I give it to Firestorm. Just I don't know. Raven could. I don't know how Firestorm would get back from an alternate dimension.
I sort of feel that the just sheer power of power and intellect of Firestorm going up even against the magic of Raven. I think that sheer power and intellect would be enough that they'd be able to outsmart her. And maybe even overpower her.
Yeah.
Well, and I kind of feel like, you know, if she were to send him to a different dimension, that would kind of be outside of the rules.
I don't think it would be outside of the rules. I think that would be like
soccer field.
Yeah, being outside the soccer field and she'd win. I'm going to stick my ground up. I'm going to say Raven. I'm still going to say Raven on this one. I might lose, but I don't care.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Firestorm. Because I feel like he could do something quicker than she could, you know, she can get a spell going. Or not a spell, but like she could use her magic quicker than she could do that.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Firestorm.
I'm also going Firestorm. So that's 3-1. Sorry, Scott.
Yep. Suck it up.
I can be on the right losing side. It's okay.
Yeah. All right, buddy.
All right.
And that will make me sleep easier tonight.
You know what? Whatever helps. That leaves us with Superman versus the Martian Manhunter.
Two extremely powerful heroes.
All right,
one shoots fire out of his eyes.
Well, first off, the soccer field is destroyed.
Yeah. Yeah.
As is the town surrounding it.
Right.
Pretty much.
Okay, hold on. If we go by I'm Supergirl TV talk, guys. I'm going by Supergirl rules. John just said a few episodes ago, I cannot read the mind of Kryptonians, and Superman thinks that's so funny. So are we dealing with the fact that his psychic abilities have no effect on Superman?
Yes.
That's definitely made up for that show.
Okay, is that not common?
But this stuff has a way of becoming a new canon.
I don't know.
But it's not there's not enough history there yet that okay. I would accept that
fair
as
enough,
canon.
Fair enough.
Okay, I just need to establish
that. That's been canon for like 3 weeks.
If he does read his mind, I mean, what's going to surprise him?
Well, yeah, I don't know if the what he could psychically attack him, I think, is more the point.
Oh, I see what that's you're saying. Point. So more on the offensive than
yes.
defensive. Okay.
I mean, Jean can become intangible.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Like, yes, and then as soon as his back is turned, become tangible, punch him in the back of the head, and repeat that process until he knocks Superman out. Because mm-hmm. he is equal to strength of Superman. So even if they're not either both super strong, imagine that they just both are throwing punches at one another as regular people. They're you. Equal right. strength. You know, but Jean is also right. a shapeshifter. We haven't talked about that yet. He could turn into like a giant dragon or, you know, the moon or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me ask you this. Even if he's intangible,
mm-hmm.
if Superman just lit the whole field on fire with his heat vision, would that freak out Martian mm-hmm. Manhunter?
Ooh. Yes. He could set the grass on fire.
Right.
He could very easily set the grass on fire. Yeah.
And that would definitely throw John Jones off his game.
But we've seen mm-hmm. John fight around fire before. So he's not like, you know, it's not like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we've also seen Superman throw an island made of kryptonite, you know, but like.
Mm.
That doesn't mean that it's.
No, here's a question. Are we dealing with a Superman who would shoot heat ray vision at John?
Yeah.
Yes.
I think they would both do that. Yeah.
Because he mm-hmm. wants to win.
Yeah.
That's interesting about setting the grass on fire, though. But Jean could fly above it.
He could fly above it, but it's still but this overwhelming still fire everywhere. In the field of play.
I mean, but
grass is on fire.
Oh no! but once again, we're dealing with, you know, how much PTSD is Jean dealing with? Because we've seen enough quite interpretations in TV, in cartoons, and in comics where just the sight of fire,
yes.
Incapacitated. I'm even thinking of like New Frontier, where, you know, he just looks at fire and when he's disguised as John Jones, the detective, and he is pretty much just catatonic.
Mm-hmm. Right. But what about like when they're fighting whatever and there's an explosion and that doesn't do anything to him? That's fire, too. Mm-hmm. You know, it's an inconsistent.
Yeah, but I feel like this would be an overwhelming fire. Like he could literally light the whole field on fire.
Yeah.
Well,
like this isn't this little isolated.
I think that's a misunderstanding. Maybe it's a little misunderstanding on how the heat vision works too. Is it like, is it a concussive blast or is it fire or, you know what I mean? Like, cause if he just shot the ground, wouldn't that just make the, like, wouldn't that just tear up the ground?
Well, I think, yeah, I agree because like if you're doing like Smallville heat vision, it's almost like flame and heat coming out of his eyes. Right. While other interpretation of heat vision is basically just lasers.
Or it could just be dealing with them.
I would argue that it's just a very concentrated beam of heat. Like, mm-hmm. whether it's flame or laser or whatever, it's a very, very concentrated, very intense beam of heat at grass, which is already flammable, and that's going to set it on fire. It's whether you view it as a laser or as fire or as, you know, taking a magnifying glass under the sun and setting it on fire. Like it's going to. I think no matter what, it sets it on fire.
Right, but the grass is also probably still wet from the Captain Cold and Mr. Freeze battles.
Yeah, but that's so. The heat is going to evaporate that right away, and it's going to still go up.
But as a counter argument to my argument,
are you arguing against yourself?
I'm arguing against myself right now.
Okay.
So if he did light the grass on fire, I don't think it would be a sustained flame. There's not enough material there to stay on fire for a long period of time. So would John be able to sustain himself long enough, keep calm long enough, keep his composure long enough to just wait for everything to quickly burn out?
I'm also curious about whether John has the ability, if he can work past his PTSD situation. I'm going back to the psychic attack on Superman. Can he get a psychic attack on Superman, and how much does that incapacitate Superman to give John the edge? Mm-hmm.
I'm going to use my lookup for this.
Okay.
Because I am, that's, to me, that's an interesting question. I'm trying to remember if that's ever happened or if like how exactly in the past we've seen them interact in terms of like John being able to infiltrate Superman's mind.
Mm-hmm. While you're doing your lookup, I bring up to this, you know, this one image from Justice League by Geoff Johns in the New 52, where the entire Justice League is taking on Martian Manhunter. Mm-hmm. And that is yet to be explained about what happened there. And I'm thinking, if the entire Justice League can take on Martian Manhunter, what's it going to be like when it's just Superman against the Martian Manhunter?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm kind of feeling I'm actually leaning a little bit more towards Martian Manhunter.
I am kind of too, but I want to wait to see what Frank brings up on the internet.
So actually what I'm finding is a bunch of nerds fighting exactly the same way we are, bringing up exactly the same points we are.
No,
I'm
not even joking. Fighting nerds on the internet?
I'm not even joking. Yahoo Answers thread where it's like, well, basically it's going to be whatever the writer needs to win. That's one thesis. Right. The next is, well, Superman is stronger, but John Jones can read minds, and that gives him the advantage, but only if Superman doesn't think of using his heat vision to create a widespread prairie fire. So literally the same fight we're having.
Yeah, I just typed that in just a moment ago.
Yeah, it's actually exactly the same thing that we're fighting over. So
right.
I think that I, as much as it pains me, as much as I am a big Superman fan, I think I have to give it to the Martian Manhunter because he is essentially Superman, but with telepathy.
Yeah.
And shapeshifting.
And shapeshifting.
You're right. Yep. So I think that does give him an edge.
Right.
Well, so, I think it's only fair considering that we had to relinquish Batman to Starro. I think it's only fair that you relinquish Superman to Martian Manhunter.
Yeah, fair is one thing, but yeah, I don't like it.
Yeah.
I don't. For the record, I don't like it, but yes. I suppose it is only fair. So that leaves us with just four of our, let's see, we are left with three heroes and one villain, right. Starro. So that gives us Starro versus Martian Manhunter.
All right.
Oh.
I'm going to give it to the Martian Manhunter.
I agree.
Just out of principle. Thank you, Tim. Right?
Just because, please God, we've had enough of this Starro bull.
Well, I think like when the Justice League first formed to fight Starro in 61 in Brave and the Bold, but they were all like inexperienced and this and this and blah, 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 blah. And Martian Manhunter, as we know him now, is much more capable, I think, than that version when they first fought. And the big power set and blah, blah, blah. And if Martian Manhunter can't take out Starro, then there's no hope for humanity. So
Starro must be stopped.
Yeah, so I'm going to give it to Martian Manhunter.
But if Martian Manhunter can take out Superman, Martian Manhunter can take out Starro. I'm sorry. I think that is our level at this point.
But can Starro light the field on fire?
No.
He can't shoot a beam out of his eye, right?
But that beam doesn't necessarily have to be hot.
Right. Okay.
Remember.
Right.
Plus, yeah. Superman already lit on fire. There's nothing left. So.
Right.
I'm going to go with John Jones.
All right. John Jones wins that round.
We get rid of the stupid starfish.
Yes.
Finally.
Well, that's how you feel about it. I'm bringing him back.
Yeah, that's right.
Resurrected.
All right.
It's the Black Starro.
That's right. All right, well, that then naturally leaves us with Dr. Fate versus Firestorm. Spiffy helmet versus
Firehead.
Brains and fire, yeah.
Mm. Okay, now this is interesting because we're right back to the same argument of science versus magic.
Right.
No, it's science versus spiffy helmet. Get it right.
Oh, I'm sorry, Frank. I'm sorry. I'm on a different show. I'm off my game.
So can Firestorm turn his helmet into soap bubbles?
No,
that would be unfortunate.
It would be just because it would go right into his eyes.
Yes,
no way.
But it would make his helmet so much shinier. Remember, it's a shiny helmet.
Yeah, but the helmet
just cleans his helmet even more.
I'm gonna say that Dr. Fate is more experienced and more powerful than Firestorm.
Yeah, he's been doing this for much longer. Yeah.
I think if we're looking at the Kent Nelson version, he's been doing it longer. Mm-hmm. He's not always ready to go into the fight, but when he does, he gets it done pretty quickly.
Right.
Mm-hmm. He's only brought out for the big stuff. And Firestorm, even with having Martinstein is generally not always the best prepared, because it's usually Martinstein going, you should really be thinking about doing this. And it's Firestorm going, yeah, whatever. So, and I guess Dr. Fate has Naboo that's kind of like that. They're both right. Going to have a voice in their head talking to one another. But I think Dr. Fate has a generally more control over what he needs to get done. So I want to give it Dr. Fate.
Well, I'm going to give it to Dr. Fate also, because Martin Stein can be, I would say, because he is so scientific, he can be very dismissive of magic.
That's a good argument.
Which, when you're dismissive of magic, magic can come and spank you on the butt, personally.
Right.
And Naboo, as the other voice in his head, is thousands of years old compared to Dr. Martin Stein.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Plus, the Naboo and the Gungans team up together and take down the Empire. So if the Naboo and the Gungans...
I was waiting for that. Thank you, Frank.
Oh, boy.
I was hoping you wouldn't make that joke. We're no longer friends.
Misa thinks Dr. Fate win the war.
Oh.
Yes. Oh.
Scott, let's not overdo... Let's not wear out our welcome here.
It can happen.
Yes.
Scott is my Bombad general. Okay, so we've got now, that leaves us with our final showdown. It's the final showdown. Yep. And it's Dr. Fate versus the Martian Manhunter. Spiffy helmet versus right. all that green good stuff. Someone give this guy an Oreo.
So, could he create a magic Oreo?
Ooh, I want a magic Oreo.
Yes.
I think
what that look like?
This fight really comes down to who can remain intangible the longest.
Ooh, that's a good point, Tim.
Well, okay, so... Okay.
Go ahead, Tim.
Well, Brian. I was gonna say here, because we talked about the telekinesis thing, right? I don't think that helps us here against Martian Manhunter.
No, I'm pretty sure Fate's helmet can block telepathy. And I'm fairly certain that Martian Manhunter can block the telepathy of Dr. Fate.
Hmm.
Okay.
They just have a fight intangible in the mind.
Now, Dr. Fate does have fire manipulation abilities. But I think is it kind of like El Diablo? Does there have to be a fire existing?
I have no idea.
I don't remember how that works. Does anyone remember?
I know nothing about El Diablo, and I'm from the Suicide Squad cast, so I can't help you there. But fail. I know. Okay, but what about – okay, let's go back to Martian Manhunter's power set. What about his intangibility? If he's phasing, does that counteract magic? Can he get close enough to Dr. Fate to pull some sort of phase trick on him to cripple him physically?
Well, let's talk about phasing. All phasing is really doing is allowing the atoms and the molecules to pass through the other atoms and molecules. So they're still there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because like if you look at the spacing between atoms in any kind of matter, it's gigantic amount of space in between atoms. So to me, phasing is really just allowing the atoms to pass through each other, but between a space through each other. So okay. I think when he's phasing, he's still there.
No, I'd agree with that. Okay, has there ever been any discussion about magic vulnerability on Martians? Because we talked about how Kryptonians, well, they're not particularly vulnerable, but they just don't have any resistance to magic like anybody else. Mm-hmm. So what about Martians and magic?
I feel as though he should be vulnerable to magic.
Yeah, I would agree with that. But what if, like, Jean is a shapeshifter. If he just like even turned his arms into like whipping tendrils and just came at Dr. Fate, you know, I think Dr. Fate could only block that for so long before getting hit, because he's not invulnerable or super strong. So if he gets hit, it's just like getting hit like a normal man.
And
what's that monster from Monsters, Inc. whose whole thing is he goes into the room and he goes,
uh-huh.
Because that's what you just described.
Yeah.
I know. I just can't shake that visual of whipping this little.
My son loves that movie. I have seen it more times than I can count, and yet I don't know the name of that monster. Yeah. I don't know why.
Well, now you have something to look for the next time you watch it.
Right. We expect a complete report.
You will have it. Trust me. Okay. Well, because that brings up the fact of what happens if Martian Manhunter does that and knocks the helmet off.
Ooh. Is the helmet so easily knocked off?
Now.
Just saying. John Jones. It's right there.
I'm leaning towards giving this one to Jean. I mean, that's just that I'm putting that on the table. Now, if anyone picks it up, that's up to you.
Yeah. Well, let's face it. I mean, Jean is a survivor, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
The last of his race.
Mm-hmm.
However that happened, you know, he's a survivor. That creates a lot of determination.
Well, Kent Nelson is just a guy who has a magic helmet.
He's a reluctant hero.
Mm-hmm. He's reluctant. You know, he's kind of following the orders of the helmet.
Yeah.
Martian Manhunter is his own Martian.
Martian Manhunter is his own Martian. This is the level of podcasting that we've boiled ourselves down to.
Right. His own Martian.
Hey, yeah. I'm four beers in. That's the level of thinking you get. Okay.
All right. Can we put it to a vote?
Okay.
Yeah. Let's do a quick assessment.
Let's do that.
Let's see where we stand.
All right. I'll take roll call. Scott.
Martian Manhunter.
Tim Prime.
Martian Manhunter.
Tim Earth One.
Martian Manhunter.
And I also vote Martian Manhunter. So it is actually unanimous.
Yes.
That our champion, our winner, the greatest hero in the DC universe, according to two podcasts who really have no business voting on the matter,
yes,
is the Martian Manhunter.
Oh my gosh.
John Jones.
Yes. Woo-hoo. Take that, David
Survivor.
Goyer.
Take that, David Goyer.
Yeah, David Goyer does not like Martian Manhunter.
Someone called David Harewood and let him know that he just won the DC universe.
I can arrange that.
Oh.
I
actually see what the Supergirl TV podcast guys just did here.
What?
This is kind of a backdoor win for Supergirl.
That was not a backdoor win. I vote for that. David Harewood is amazing.
Yes, he is.
Yeah. Yeah, he is.
Didn't break that at all.
we joke, but we really didn't.
No,
we didn't.
This was really fun, guys.
Yeah, it was definitely fun.
Oh, my God. I am so happy to have done this with you guys. I hope the listeners have as much fun as we have, because this has been amazing.
Yeah, I hope you guys are still listening.
Yeah.
But, you know, for the three of you that still are, you got to see who won. So, hey,
that's right.
That seems like a worthwhile payoff in and of itself. This is a huge, huge blast, huge honor for us to be able to be on your show and have you guys on our show. We're really, really glad that this worked out.
Thank you guys so much.
Thank you guys. Where can people find you guys on the internet if they want to hear more from either of you?
All right. Well, you can find me at Alan Fire, and you can find the show's Twitter feed at Suicide Squadcast, and you can email us at suicidesquadcast@gmail.com. Scott?
And you can find me personally on Twitter at ScottDC27.
Yep.
Very good.
Oh, yep.
Okay.
Tim, where can people find us on the internet?
They can find us at beerwithgeeks.com or facebook.com/beerwithgeeks or at the Twitters at beerwithgeeks. You can also reach us on our own personal Twitters at Tim_Gannon or at Frank Ramblings. You can also rate and review us on iTunes for Beer with Geeks, so it's Central Media Player, or the Overcast app or any place that podcasts are found. And I think I ran through them all in my brain. Yeah, I think that's it.
I believe you did. Well, this was, again, it's so much fun.
Definitely.
All of you guys who are, you know, listeners of the Suicide Squadcast who found us for the first time, happy to have you. Hope that some of our listeners cross over and start listening to the Suicide Squadcast as well. You guys just do an awesome job keeping everyone up to date on everything that's happening in DC TV and movies. And I hope we can do this again sometime.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah. And if there are any of our listeners here, please go and leave these guys a 5-star written review. These guys are awesome. You need to check out the other episodes.
And ditto to you, sir. Ditto to you.
Absolutely.
Are we done kind of like patting each other on the back?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that was probably enough.
So until next time,
yes.
Cheers.